Residents are returning to the wealthiest neighborhood in Kandahar, Afghanistan. Taliban and al-Qaeda leaders fled Kandahar's mansions in the face of a U.S. bombing campaign. New warlords and officials are replacing them, NPR's Steve Inskeep reports.
It's called the Hindu neighborhood, the Hindu choke in the local language. Decades ago, four Indian businessmen built four mansions at the same intersection in the heart of the neighborhood. In the 1970s, one of the Hindus ran out of money, and a textile factory manager named Lal Muhammad Nazari bought his house. Nazari moved in just in time to live through all the wars that followed. The buildings were perfect before the war, Lal Muhammad says. In the 1980s, his family huddled in the basement while Soviet tanks battled Afghan fighters outside. Rockets wrecked the second floor of his house. Soldiers and guerrillas smashed their way through the neighborhood's brick walls and columns. Kandahar native Muhammad Yunus says a front line ran through this neighborhood for years.
The government at that time, they were losing control of the city. And up to this point, more or less, the government could control this part of the city. And the rest was in the hands of the opposition of the Mujahideen, and because none of these two parties could go ahead or behind.
So they kept shooting. Today, much of the Hindu choke resembles an ancient archaeological dig. Fragments of walls, a few columns and arches. Walk the streets and you feel like you're seeing a civilization that died centuries ago. The residents of those houses left Afghanistan, and that's one of Afghanistan's biggest problems. Kandahar's government is appealing for experts to help run the government, train the police force, or just stop the electricity from going out several times a day. But not many businessmen, engineers, or professors live here anymore. Some do still own property in the Hindu choke, and in the 1990s, the absentee landlords rebuilt some houses to rent to a new elite. The United Nations and other aid agencies moved in. So did leaders of the Taliban, who decreed that the old Hindu choke should be called the Muslim choke. Then in October, U.S. bombs began smashing Taliban mansions. Yesterday, dozens of schoolchildren walked past the wreckage of a house. Neighbors say that Arabs lived there and painted it blue. Now it's just a pile of blue-tinted bricks. The only thing left standing is an anti-aircraft gun carriage in the front yard. Three kids climbed on it. But the owners of the houses in the Hindu choke are preparing space for yet another elite. The bombs that destroyed the Arab house also blew out the windows next door. Yesterday, a carpenter started cutting new window frames. The brother of Afghanistan's new prime minister has rented a three-story house in this neighborhood. Kandahar's new intelligence chief has taken over a compound on a quiet street and posted gunmen at the end of the block. Military commanders prowl the streets in their pickup trucks. Aid organizations have begun to return. Few gaudy houses stand amid acres of destruction. Many leading citizens are still outside Afghanistan, and some who remain feel uncomfortable. There's a cultural gap between the city's educated elite and the warlords who now give the orders. Muhammad Amer Satai was once a member of Afghanistan's parliament. He's now a prominent trader in dairy products. Visit his office, and an assistant brings you a cup of hot spiced milk. Ask Satai what he could do to help Kandahar's new government, and he says he's not sure he can do anything. Kandahar's leaders are too busy for me, he says, and the lower commanders are uneducated gunmen who have no use for me. And he says, I don't have any use for them either. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Kandahar, Afghanistan.